night. It is a real joy, a blessing, a privilege, and an honor to be able to be here another Monday afternoon. We are thankful for God's precious love, His eternal love, and His infinite wisdom. We appreciate Him, as we said many a times, loving us and having mercy upon us, saving us from a burning hell. I'm glad I don't have to worry about, nor to be concerned about, dying in sin and going to hell. He was my substitute, the propitiation, the atonement for my sins. He that knew no sin became personally sin for me, I might be made the righteous of God in Him. I can say I'm justified this afternoon, not because I'm worthy of it or I deserved it. I should have went to hell. But I'm qualified because of justified because He died for me. He took my place. He bore my sins in His own body on the tree, the just for the unjust, the holy for the unholy, the righteous for the unrighteous. He took my place, my substitute, propitiation, the atonement for my sins. He that knew no sin became sin for me personally, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I've said many a time He was delivered for offenses, our sins, raised again for our justification. I've been justified, thank God, freely by His marvelous, amazing grace. And I am what little bit I am, only by the grace of God. And not in me living, but Christ living in me. I'm glad He's alive in me. He quickened me and made me alive. I used to be dead, trespassing sin, but I'm glad, marvelous, amazing grace, when He saved me, quickened me, and made me alive, transformed me and changed me, and put me in newness of life. I've been walking in newness of life for nearly 40 wonderful years. I'm not enduring this, praise God, I've enjoyed it. It's a pleasing, satisfying, rewarding life to try to live for Him. You don't work to get saved. You're saved by grace through faith, then it not of yourself, the gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast. You labor because you are saved. We're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Every child of God has been called for service. Beloved, if you expect to serve Him, you're going to have to sanctify Him. You're going to have to cleanse yourself from all filth in the flesh and sanctify the Lord God in your heart, cleansing yourself from all filth in the flesh, the spirit of the flesh, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. He's got to be sanctified, beloved. You've got to sanctify yourself, and He's got to sanctify you, beloved, completely, and use you and set you aside as a vessel of mercy, a vessel for service. You've got to first be saved. We said before, it's in order. Salvation first, beloved, sanctification second, and third, they'll come along just naturally, your place of service. But you'll never find a place of service. You'll never be able to render a place of service, beloved. If you don't cleanse yourself, you don't sanctify yourself, you don't break away from all problems, bad habits, bad attitudes, everything that might hinder or just disturb or hurt you from doing God's blessed will. Daily, you've got to die. You've got to crucify, mortify, put to death the deeds of the body, and strive to perfect holiness in the fear of God. We all have been saved by the grace of God. Beloved, we don't deserve what we got. We just what little we are, only by His grace, and we're so unworthy. I know I am, but I thank Him for saving any other person such as rotten and wrecked and vile as I was, and making me brand new on the inside, and putting me in newness of life, and giving me purpose in this life, and giving me satisfaction and peace and joy that's unspeakable, life that's full of glory. I've never been what I wanted to be, but I've tried to be, but He's been everything to me. He super exceeds all my expectations and everything to me. I appreciate Him saving a good for nothing such as myself, giving me a place, praise God, in His body, as a member of the body of Christ, qualified and justified, thank God, by His atoning blood. I was outside the shedding of the blood. There is no remission for sin. I got saved because I believed what God had to say. I believed that Jesus died for my sins, that God raised Him from the dead. I've always knew that, even a little bitty boy, a young teenager, and a young man. I knew who Jesus was, but I didn't know Him as my personal Savior. When I believed on Him, received Him as the atonement for my sins, and I called on Him with a broke heart and a contrite spirit, I mean I was broke. I was contrite. I was sick of myself. I was tired of the flesh and tired of sin. But I gave it all up, and I asked Him to have mercy upon me. Forgive me of my sins. The psalmist said this poor man cried, and the Lord heard his cry, delivering out all his troubles. What a remarkable change that took place in my life. Young man, born of understanding, blinded by the godless world. I'm glad at about 23 years old. Thank God, something wonderful happened on the inside of me. It changed my motivations. It changed my thought. It changed my walk. It changed my talk. It just changed me completely. I had no desire to run anymore in the hog pen and drink and smoke and gamble and cuss. Do all the things that most of the world does, buddy. I found pleasure in those things. That's why I was a partaker of them. The Bible said the pleasure of sin proceeds. And, beloved, it does bring pleasure. That's why people commit sin. That's why they run after the sinful habit that they're engaged in. But when I got saved, it never really satisfied me. It just excited me and brought appeasement to my stinking, corrupted flesh. But when I got saved, I got satisfied. I mean, I really got satisfied. I found out what life was all about. I found out that when I got saved and born again, that God had done something on the inside of me and put me in new life. Beloved, I realized that He'd saved me for service. I realized if I served Him, I'd have to listen to Him, pay attention to Him, and obey the Word of God. Sanctify them through Thy truth, He said, with Thy Word is truth. I'd have to take heed and obey the Word of God, not just be a hearer, but a doer of the Word. And I've been trying to practice, beloved, those things since I've been saved. Like I said, I missed the mark, the Apostle Paul said. He hadn't yet apprehended. One thing for sure, he forgot about the thing of the past. He pressed on toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Beloved, I'm still pressing. I'm still pushing. I look at myself and look at Him through the Bible. I realize that how vile and short I am, how very insignificant, how unimportant, what a nothing I am. But I realize when I look through at Him through the Bible, I realize how precious He is. And it just encourages me. Beloved, it makes me want to go on and keep on keeping on, beloved, and do the best I can to labor because what He done for me. How He saved me from a burning hell. I'll never have to worry about dying in sin and going to hell. He became my substitute. He is the propitiation, the atonement for my sins. He that knew no sin, that be Jesus, became sin for me, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Him, delivered from my offenses, my sins, and raised again for my justification. I've been justified. Thank God for that. Through His sacrificial blood, His atoning blood. Outside the shedding of the blood, there is no remission, no forgiveness for sin. You can't, beloved, go to heaven except you experience the new birth. You reach an age of accountability where you have an awareness of sin, beloved, and sin is imputed. Beloved, you didn't expect you're going to get to heaven by being good or doing good, or loving your neighbor, treating your neighbor well, or giving you money, or joining up with the church, or being sprinkled or baptized, or any other religious act you want to perform, beloved. It'll never justify you. If you can be justified by doing those deeds, then Jesus died a vain death. In the Garden of Gethsemane, at the Mount of the old olive tree, little Mount Olive, He was praying there as He prayed. He said, Father, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. Beloved, there was no other way, because He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by Him. He is, thank God, the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Savior of all mankind. Another name under heaven, given among men, whereby all the world, thank God, must be saved. He is a necessity. I'll guarantee if you try to come up the other way, you'll be the same as a thief and robber, and you'll be cast out today. God's not going to recognize, beloved, any other being, any other person outside His beloved Son. He said, as the voice came from heaven, this is my beloved Son, and whom I am well pleased. He said, hear ye Him. I believe what He's had to say, beloved, is a positive fact. I believe that He is the Christ, and know for sure He's the Christ, the Son of the living God, because I have on the inside of me the witness of God, on the inside of God, the blessed Holy Spirit living in me. You can't be saved and not have the Holy Spirit. The Bible said, if any man be in Christ, He's a new creature. Old things pass away. All things become new to you, beloved, when you get saved. And then any man without the Spirit of Christ, He said, is none of his. Beloved, when you get saved, that's an automatic. Can't be saved without the Spirit of God indwelling in you. That's what you're born of. God's divine nature, God's holy nature. God, of course, is a spirit. They that worship must worship in spirit and in truth. He's the comforter, beloved. Third part of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and God the Holy Spirit, self-same person, are the comforter which He promised would come back, beloved, and did come back on the day of Pentecost, beloved, when Pentecost had fully come, beloved, the Holy Ghost fell on those early apostles and disciples, beloved, gathered there in the upper room, and it filled them, beloved, and filled the house where all of them were sitting. Of course, they spake in tongues, the tongues with other tongues of the nationalities, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And He said to Peter, some of them accused Peter of being drunk. He said, I'm not drunk, suppose, in the third hour of the day. And they were marveled at them, at these people from all other nations in heaven, devout men, Jews from other nations in heaven, said, how is it that we hear them speak in our own tongue wherein we were born? It's unknown to me if I'm an American and you're a German, I'm speaking an American tongue. You don't know the American or the English language, beloved. And I'm speaking an unknown tongue. You don't know what I'm saying. It's unknown. That's what Paul's talking about in 1 Corinthians 12:13 and 14, beloved. In the Acts of the early apostles, gospel declares the creeds and tells us very plainly over in there, beloved, the gift of tongues or unknown tongues. There's other tongues, other languages, all this other stuff going on. It's a bunch of nonsense, a bunch of wildfire, a bunch of stupidity, a bunch of ignorance of the flesh, like most so-called church services are today. God have mercy. It's full of wildfire, beloved. It's not the real fire. It's motivated by sin and Satan and by the flesh, beloved. I said before they wouldn't recognize Jesus, they'd sit down beside them, had a two-hour conversation, got up and left. They never would know that it was him. They don't know anything about him, beloved. It's like they watched said in the scripture in the last of the seven churches in the book of Revelation, when he sent John the letters to write to them and admonished them about their shortcomings. Last of that, those churches, the latter sin church age, and he said he was on the outside knocking the door trying to get in. Beloved, he's not in most of the so-called churches today. He's on the outside knocking at the door trying to get in. They pushed him out, beloved. They don't want him in reality. They want to talk about him, jump up and down, hoop, holler like they some type of anointed one. God have mercy. I mean, when you see the Holy Ghost, you get saved and born again, you won't boast about how good you are, how religious you are, how sanctimonious you are, beloved. You want to praise him, beloved. You want to thank him. You realize you're just a stinking, wretched, vile sinner saved by the grace of God. For by grace are you saved, through faith in that, not of yourself. The gift of God, not of works. The scripture said, lest any man should boast, I'm going to heaven because he had mercy upon me. The psalmist said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard his cry and delivered him out of all his trouble. What kind of cry did he offer up? Beloved, it was a broken heart and a contrite spirit. The Bible says the sacrifice of God, a broken heart and a contrite spirit, as a sacrifice God will not despise. Beloved, he loves a person to come and be confessing and be real and earnest and honest about themselves and realize that they sin and confess that sin to God, beloved, and then forsake that sin. The Bible says when you do that, you'll find mercy. Yes, there's plenty of mercy because the merciful one is on the mercy seat in heaven itself, interceding with saints according to the will of God. His mercy, the Bible says, every morning, and his compassions never fail. What a wonderful Savior that is. And he wants to save you this afternoon. Get out of your fictitious religious phony ways. Stop trying to play like you're something that you're not. Look at all flesh is grass. All of us at our very best are vile and wretched. It's not a just man, not a good man, not a righteous man, but all the face of earth. All of us like sheep are gone astray, but the Lord has laid upon us all the iniquity all upon him, and by his stripes, his bruising, his beating, all the endured for us at Calvin, and the blood that is shed, by his stripes, beloved, we're healed. The healing balm, the chief physician, is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're found guilty before God, without his blood being applied to the sin of your soul, you'll spend forever in hell just as surely as the God in heaven. And I'm preaching to you this afternoon, don't die without him. Don't die religious. Don't die sanctimonious. God have mercy on you. Repent of your sin. Confess your sin. Be aware about your sin and ask God to help you, forgive you, and save you. If you do that, I promise you that he will. See my time now. Just about going right to us. Pray for us. God bless you is our prayer in his name. Amen.